Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community, from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
Good evening, Texas. Good morning, Philippines. Magandang gabi, Houston. My name is Aileen Ligatizan. I'm an attorney licensed here in the state of Texas in the Philippines. And welcome to Legal Treats. It's Friday again, and my co-host is here, Neska.
Yes, attorney Aileen. Good evening, Texas. And good morning, Philippines. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here from the Philippines. Everybody's busy for the weekend. How about you, attorney Aileen? How are you doing?
Of course, it's going to be a busy weekend. Well, it's still Friday here, so our weekend is going to start tomorrow. But others are already celebrating their, enjoying their weekend already tonight. While I'm still here with you guys, but enjoying this conversation with Neska. But this weekend, we'll be heading to Beaumont because they're going to be celebrating their Independence Day celebration. No, 1 ng June is celebration of Independence Day here. But this flyer that you see is not actually in Beaumont. This is going to be in Houston. This will be next week, June 12. This is in partnership with the Philippine Consulate General in Houston and also PKH Philippine Kalayaan in Houston. And this event is supported by the majority of the Filipino American organization here in Houston, greater Houston area. So this is a joint effort of all these Filipino American organizations. So this event, it's exact day we're celebrating the Independence Day in the Philippines, although medyo advanced kayo dyan ng 13 hours. But here we will have our flag raising ceremony. And then we're gonna head to the gala celebrating the event. And our guest artist is Jaya. Did you know Jaya lives here already?
Wow. Yeah. She migrated there in the U.S.
Yes, yes. Sometimes she'll have concert here and there. But yeah, she's already based here in the greater Houston region. Yes. And then yung sinasabi ko this Sunday is in Beaumont. This is there's also a big Filipino American organization in Beaumont, and they have this fiesta, which is basically to celebrate Independence Day.
Wow, such a jump-packed weekend for you, Attorney Aileen. I actually noticed that since the start of June, parang ang dami niyo ng events dyan sa US. Parang since June 1st, you've been celebrating the Independence Day already there in the US.
That's right. June 1st was in Dallas, actually in Grand Prairie, Dallas area. So that was an amazing celebration, actually. There were a lot of people, so many cultural presentation. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed one of the presentation there. There's this youth, DMIC group, Dallas Metroplex International Church youth. They perform dances and they did some exhibition of different Filipino games. Yung mga laro natin dyan, nung wala pang mga computer, cell phone, or gadget, right? They did some luksong tinik, Chinese garter, you know, reminds me of the youth in the Philippines during that time where everybody was interacting and engaging in physical games, diba?
Yeah, that sounds so fun, Attorney Aileen. And I think napaka nostalgic din ng feeling when you see the children play games you used to play before. Kabataan pa yan, luksong baka daw.
Oo, ginawa din nila yan, nagluksong baka din sila. Oo. Oh. So it's just so it's amazing to see kids, Phil-Am kids doing that. I mean, I don't even know kung may mga bata pa dyan sa Philippines na gumagawa ng mga, naglalaro ng ganyan eh. And then seeing them here, seeing the Phil-Am kids playing those games, it's different. Like parang nakaka-proud pero nakaka-miss din na sana, you know, you want to look back and sana yung mga bata, they still play this game.
Yes. And sana tayo din makakalaro pa ng mga ganun. But
okay na ako energy sa sofa at saka ano, yung tag niya may bola at saka Jackstone.
Jackstone, yeah.
Nalaro Jackstone mo ba yun? Parang hindi naman na yata.
Yes, so, masaya yun.
O pagaling.
Ngayon hindi naman. Yun. Chinese garter.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Attorney Aileen, this production is proudly brought to us by Lawing Media Network. We're currently live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So join us every 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time and 7:30 a.m. Philippine Time. But if you missed us live, no worries. Catch the replay on over 15 podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google, Apple, and more. So stay tuned and stay engaged.
That's right. And tonight we're going to have a discussion that is, again, related to immigration and, of course, has some impact in the community, not just Filipino community, but the community here in general, given the fact that there's a lot of news that you can, you know, you read now all over about arrest, deportation, anything about immigration. So we started talking about it last week. Ano ba yung topic natin last week?
Oh yes, ang topic natin last week was also about the Filipino who was also detained due to missed notices or summons.
Yeah, but actually hindi siya Filipino, ah. European, yeah.
European,
so, but yes, he's a green card holder for a long time, remember? He missed the notice or probably ignored it. And because of that, he didn't attend to, I mean, he did not comply with whatever is in the notice, which was filing an application for removal of the temporary status ng kanyang green card because he got that green card through marriage with a U.S. citizen. And marami din sa ating mga kababayan na in that situation, they got their green card through marriage with a U.S. citizen. And wala namang problema doon. Nagkakaroon lang ng problema if you don't follow the rules or you don't follow the deadline, you don't meet the deadlines, or you don't you ignore notices or miss your appointments. So then there will be some consequences, could be serious consequences or curable yung iba, but then you have to remember there is a time limit sa mga ganyan. And that's why it's important for you to get that notice, because the notice itself tells you if you have 30 days to file an appeal, 30 days to file a motion to reconsider, ganyan. So, but if you miss that, kasi nagawal ka na sa oras, and you will lose that benefit. So, and there could be some, you know, serious consequences. But today, it's still immigration, but I'd like to talk about this case na involved naman ng Filipino. Alright? Yes. Sino nga ba itong pinag-uusapan natin ngayon, Neska?
Yeah, we're discussing the case of Llewellyn Dixon. She is already a lawful or permanent resident detained by the ICE. Like, upon returning from a vacation in the Philippines, she was detained by the ICE.
That's right. So, she's been a green card holder, a legal permanent resident here in the United States for more than 50 years. Anong taon na ba siya? 64. Nag-usapan natin to para lang gamitin yun na example para kapulutan natin ng aral. Tsaka yung mga iba, that maiwasan nila yung mistake na ganyan. As a matter of fact, Llewellyn, after that incident, she became an advocate para doon sa mga nasa deportation kulungan, jail. Kasi nga nakita niya yung situation doon. And she was in jail. She stayed there for how long, Neska? Mga 3 months?
For almost 3 months, from Feb to May.
That's right. Yeah, so she was, she traveled to the Philippines, and then when she came back here at the airport in Seattle, so anong pangalan ng airport? Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. When she arrived there, she was taken into custody. by US customs yung ICE sa airport. Tawag sa kanila US Customs and Border Protection officer doon. And the reason why, kasi may green card naman siya, it shouldn't be a problem to get in and out, right? However, when they run, remember pag pumapasok ka sa airport, they check, you have to submit your documentations, diba, yung passport mo, yung green card mo, and they run their report. And they probably saw a conviction in the past. Naturally, they saw a conviction in the past. That's what her attorney has mentioned during an interview, one of the interviews, that in the past, sometime long time ago, I think what year was that? 2001. She was actually convicted for a crime of embezzlement, non-violent embezzlement, embezzlement na. I think she was able to pay it back naman, you know, kasi yes. Siya nagtatrabaho siya dati as a supervisor sa Washington Mutual Bank, and there were some records in the bank that showed na she removed cash without authorization in, you know, quite a number of occasions. I think 8 occasions yon, which totaled lang naman the amount of 6,460. So it's not really that big, but it's still a conviction. And this is what I want to emphasize here. Just because umalit lang yan, aminin mo na pag you're represented by an attorney, a criminal attorney, who has no knowledge about immigration or maybe not aware of the immigration impact of that conviction, right? So sasabihin sa'yo, ano na lang, mag-plea guilty ka na lang para imbes na makulong ka, mag-community service ka na lang. At I believe this, you know, some similar thing happened na nangyari sa kanya na she pleaded guilty and she was fined 6,460 na binayaran niya, and then she was also sentenced to 30 days in a halfway house. Hindi rin siya nakulong, you know. So walang ganoon talagang, kung tutusin, kung sino ba naman ang gustong makulong, tiya aminin ko na lang din, di ba? Tapos magbayad na lang ako, tapos mag-community service na lang ako, ganyan, and then tapos na. So akala niya okay na yon, which is, you know, I'm pretty sure ilang beses na siyang lumabas at bumalik ng bansa at hindi naman siya nagka-problema. Pero yun na nga ang sinasabi natin sa ating mga kababayan na sometimes, you know, if they see that, it could cause you inconvenience if not big problem. You know, this one was a big problem. Very inconvenient ang nangyari sa kanya because she was arrested and she was detained. And then yung kulungan pa daw is not really maganda yung kanyang environment. Hindi siya conducive na mag-stay doon, hindi healthy, ganyan. So she eventually naman, because of overwhelming support, may mga nag-rally on her behalf, pinayagan naman siya na ma-erase na yung, na hindi na matuloy yung deportation case niya. And she was allowed to stay here in the United States. Yun ang nangyari kay Lurleen. So, kabupulatan ba natin ng aral to? Yes. And, you know, we'll talk more about this. Ngayon, ang tanong, Neska, bakit sa tingin mo, nung nakita na lang yung record na yon, ay kinailangan siyang arestuhin? Eh, wala naman na siyang outstanding warrant, wala na siyang, malinis na sana, serve na niya eh. What do you think?
Yeah, that's actually my question to you also, Attorney Aileen. Like after 2001, since she was convicted of embezzlement, and then like after 24 years pa, she was detained for that case also. And, you know, ang hirap nga itagpi-tagpi why she was convicted for 2001 and then she was just got arrested 2025 this year, and yun, she was detained for crime involving moral turpitude, it was it, and that makes me wonder what made her past conviction still legally significant until after 20 or more than 20 years.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting question that we will answer when we come back. Mag-break muna tayo because it's related to our next discussion. which is all about crimes involving moral turpitude, or CIMT. And of course, what do you need to know about this? Ano nga ba yung impact nito? Bakit significant pa ito after a long period of time? So, stick around. We'll come back.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
And we're back, Nazca.
And we're back here at Legal Treats with Attorney Aileen. And we're still talking about the case of Llewellyn Dixon, a 64-year-old lab technician who lived in the U.S. since she was 14. And she was detained by the ICE or the ICE this year, February 2025, even after the conviction for the crime of embezzlement nung 2001 pa. But we're still talking about her case because we're discussing its legal significance. And the case of Llewellyn Dixon is a crime involving moral turpitude. So yes, Attorney Aileen, we're discussing crime involving moral turpitude. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, right, Nazca. So remember, her case in the past was conviction for embezzlement, nonviolent embezzlement that involved only about a value of $6,000, right? Not even $7,000, but she already paid all that money back. Now, crimes involving moral turpitude, or CIMTs, these are crimes that or offenses that involve conduct considered inherently wrong. They're inherently vile or contrary to accepted moral standards in the community. Yung parang, that's just in our eyes, that's just very wrong. Katulad yun, magnakaw, walang magsasabi sa'yo, even if there's no law, mali pa rin yun, di ba? Because it's against our moral values. And that's why the term CIMT. Now, these are crimes that reflect poorly on one person's moral character. And just to give you an example, maliban na lang doon sa case ni Llewellyn, yung mga intentional wrongdoing, like for example, cheating, stealing, of course, murder, yung mga intentional wrongdoing yan. Or of course, yung fraud, dishonesty, deceit, and acts of violence or serious harm to persons or property, especially them yung domestic violence. So ngayon, so we already ran down some examples at then nabanggit ko kanina, like for example, yung theft nga, you know it's inherently wrong. Kahit kailan di maging tama magnakaw, right? Kahit na sabihin pa nilang, oh, okay na yun, maliit lang. It's still, you still stole some amount of money, which is, that in itself is wrong. You have intent to harm the other person. Okay, naman, yung mga certain sexual offenses. I believe this is also a term in the Philippines, yung statutory rape. Sexual abuse, kahit nasawa mo pa, you could be guilty of sexual abuse, murder, or voluntary manslaughter, perjury, or false statements. Kaya nga, when somebody applies for a benefit, immigration benefit, but you have a form to fill up, there's always those questions about moral character of the person. And then we'll talk more about that, especially if you're applying for naturalization. You want to become a citizen of the U.S., and we want you if you have good moral character, because we don't want to keep criminals, right? You don't want to naturalize somebody who is inherently bad or my criminal history, walang good moral character. So that's why may mga questions talaga doon sa application form. Nabanggit ko yung perjury because when you file your application, you have to answer it, di ba? Did you commit a crime in the past? You have to say yes if it's yes. You don't say no if it's a yes, right? Because at the end, there's a statement there that you are actually saying that you are signing that in fear of, you know, ma-prosecute ka for perjury if you lied. So that's why, you know, you're telling them basically that, you know, I'm not telling lie here, I'm telling the truth. So they will hold that against you. Pag lumabas, katulad yung case ni, ano, ni Llewellyn, if when she applied for naturalization later on and she was asked whether you have past conviction and she forgot about that past conviction because it's been a long time and she said no, then they will take that against her and she may not be able to naturalize or even worse, she might be put in a deportation proceeding. So yun yung crime against moral turpitude. Meron namang mga non-CIMT offenses na hindi naman nakakaapekto for the eligibility of a person to avail of immigration benefits. But still, you have to declare. Kasi kapag hindi mo naman dineclare, you might be, they might take it against you dahil you are not true, you're not telling the truth, you're lying. And the one thing that the USCIS officers could tolerate is lying. They cannot. They will not. They will always hold that against you. Kaya ang dami-daming tanong sa forms pag nag-apply ka, di ba? Every single question there can be used against you. Now, what example of non-CIMT offenses am I talking about here? Traffic violation. Yung minor lang, ha? Like, for example, you run a red light or you were speeding, di ba? You got a ticket. That's why when in my case, if I interview somebody to determine the eligibility of that person to file an application for immigration benefits, those are the questions that I usually ask because I have to prove or we have to prove that that person is a good moral character. Yon. Ngayon, syempre naman, minsan talaga naman nag-overspeed ka, di ba? You receive a ticket. Is that bad? That's not bad. It may not affect your ability to avail of immigration benefits, but you know, if you did not pay the ticket, then that could have severe effects sa application mo. Kasi then, you know, you're already doing two wrongs. Nagkamali ka na nga, di ka pa nagbayad ng ticket mo. So, again, sometimes it's case to case naman. Kung gaano kadami yung mga kung naman, puro naman everyday huli ka, you know, that could also be considered by the USCIS officer that, you know, you're not morally right or you don't have a good moral character because you are recidivist, paulit-ulit, hindi ka natututo, palagi ka nagbibit ng red light, you're posing danger to the society, di ba? You become a danger to the community if you do that. So, even if it's a minor violation, kung lagi-lagi, that's what I'm saying, so it's case-to-case basis pa rin.
Yeah. Attorney, we've mentioned examples of CIMTs, like you've said, if you're involved in fraud, theft, also if abuses, sexual abuses, verbal abuses, those are considered CIMTs. So you said, traffic violations could not be considered as CIMT. But attorney, is there a list or a guideline that help immigrants or lawyers know which crimes are considered CIMTs?
Yeah, of course. It's actually provided by the USCIS office. Actually, it's a website nila. You can find it there. And also, when you file an application, there's a list of questions that you have to answer. Like, for example, naturalization. So when you apply for naturalization, meaning to say you've been green card for either 3 years or green card holder for either 3 years or 5 years or more, di ba? Because to be eligible, if you got your green card through a marriage, at least 3 years can green card holder before you may apply for naturalization. That is if you are, of course, there are other requirements, like given the fact that you have complied all the requirements, 3 years, and then in general, naman, 5 years. Now, you have to prove during that 5 years, supposedly, that you have been living that you have a good moral character, that you're a law-abiding citizen, you know, that you're eligible. That's why there's a list of questions. So, like, for example, and we notice this one, you'll have to go over it one by one. Sometimes nakakatawa pag katatanong mo na, alam mo naman na pwedeng tong tao na to, si Lola, eh, hindi naman siguro si Lola na involves the prostitution, but you still have to ask the question because of perjury nga. They have to tell the truth. No? So like, for example, have you ever claimed to be a U.S. citizen? So let's say, for example, you are a green card holder, and then at some point, just to get the benefits, some kind of benefits from the government, you declare yourself that you are a U.S. citizen. This is actually a case of, I remember there's a Filipino who actually was involved in this kind of situation, that he probably in the past he thought he was a U.S. citizen because he, you know, he was brought here at a young age, so he's been here his whole life, and then all of a sudden hindi pala siya U.S. citizen. So he claimed to be a U.S. citizen. They took that one against him. So yun, like the question, have you ever registered to vote in any election in the United States? Of course, alam naman natin na only U.S. citizens can vote in the general election, federal election especially. So if you voted at one time lang, you know, you are actually, you're not in good moral character, and you're actually violating some laws and at the same time. Now, have you ever been a member of a terrorist organization? That's another question that you have to answer. The answer, of course, should be no. Otherwise, you may not be eligible to apply for certain immigration benefits. Like the other question is, have you ever been a habitual drunkard? So yung mga lasinggero, yung mga alcoholics, ganyan. Do you consider them as my good moral character? In immigration, they may not be considered to be a person of good moral character. Kaya nga may tanong na ganon. Have you ever sold illegal drugs or narcotics? This is pretty simple to understand why, right? Have you ever helped anyone enter the United States illegally? Yeah, nag-smuggle ka ng immigrant dito o ng tao na undocumented or hindi dumaan sa tamang process. So, yung mga ganun. At maraming pang listahan yan. Because what they do is, they look into your case. Kapag ka meron kang isa dyan na sinagot na yes, you know, ibig sabihin nun, that doesn't mean hindi ka na pwede mag-naturalize, but ibig sabihin lang nun, they will look into your case with the much deeper investigation focus. Talagang they will dig deeper into what happened in the past, into your life then and now, you know, ngayon nga. They even look into your social media account, your Facebook. No, they can ask the password, and I've been hearing that this is happening at the border, at the airport, that they'll ask you your password so that they can look into your Facebook account and see, ikaw ba dito eh? At some point, nag-post ka ba na part ka ng armed group? So they can use that against you.
Wow, grabe. But attorney, isn't it a violation of your data privacy then naman if they ask for your password? For your
That's why they
media?
Ask, diba? Okay. Yeah. So, but
ikaw naman yung mag-encode or something?
It depends. Sometimes kasi pag nandoon ka na sa situation na yon, and if it's your first time to encounter that, matatakot ka, and then you give it all, you don't know na by doing that, you're actually also opening more opportunities for them to look into your records, you know, parang you're giving it away. Yeah. But so there was a story of a lawyer who actually was returning from a trip outside the country, and she was asked to give her phone and, you know, enter the password so they can open the phone, and she didn't want to do that. Of course, nagdating siya. It was, you know, she was held there for how many hours, so very inconvenient talaga. To the point na makaminsan dahil sa very inconvenient. Sige na nga lang, bigay ko na nga lang para makalabas na ako. But then, never do that because that means baka lalong hindi ka makalabas.
Especially if there's confidential information nandiyan sa phone mo that they can
see. Like for me, I'm an attorney, so I definitely have some conversations there that should be kept confidential to protect my clients, diba? So yun talaga, that's what happened to her. Syempre ilalaban na yun.
Yeah. Anyway, attorney, we have very interesting question also here from Krisha De Vera. She asked, is good faith a defense if you were brought in U.S. at very young age, thinking you are a U.S. citizen? I think it's related to what you've said earlier.
Yeah, obviously, hindi, diba? Kasi it's, parang ano yan, Krisha, yung legal maxim na paborito natin. Ano nga ba yun? Ignorance of the law excuses no one. You know, so, ano yung legal maxim nun? Latin, ano ba yun? And ignorantia leis nemen excusat. Tama ba ako? Yes. So, yeah, kaya ngayon nabalikan yung ating kababayan na yun because hindi naman niya kasalanan, but you know, the law may be harsh, but it's the law. Diba?
Yeah, Duralex said lex then.
Oh, diba? Duralex said lex. Ayan, so may mga questions pa yata dyan eh. Ano pa bang questions yan? Let's address them. Oh, ayun, sabi niya, Duralex said lex. Yes. That's Krisha's favorite.
Ignorantia leis non excusat, yeah.
Yes.
Ignorance
yes.
of the law excuses no one.
That's right. Oo, kay totoo naman yun because, you know, if you live in a society, you should know what are the laws. Okay, kahit man lang yung rules. Yung traffic laws, syempre alam mo, di ba, kailala lang muna. If you see a stop sign, you have to stop. Yung mga simpleng ganon. Hindi yung wala ka lang pakialam. Just because you don't know, you feel like, oh, I'll be excused. No, you're not gonna be excused. Because you are expected to know the law. Yes.
Oh, attorney, also, I just remembered. How about illegal possession of firearms? Is it considered also CIMT there in the U.S.?
Oh, illegal nga, diba? Pero yun, like I said, depende yun sa case to case, ano yan. Kasi in some states, they're allowed to open carry, diba?
Mm-hmm.
Pero dahil ginamit mo yung word na illegal, so I'm assuming that's illegal. Siyempre, CIMT nga yun. Yeah. Pero like here in Texas, we have an open carry law here, so that means we can, you know, we can own guns and we can carry them in public, open carry on. But of course, there are some limitations, but you still need to know that. Tsaka kung kailan mo gagamitin yung baril mo. Kasi sabi nga nila dito, every house here in Texas ay may baril. So that's the assumption. I mean, that's yes. I believe it's a norm here in Texas. So anyway, we'll continue this discussion when we'll take a short break. When we come back, kwento ko yung mga some instances na bakit nagkaroon ng impact yung CIMT na ito sa immigration application ng ating kababayan o ng mga anybody here, not just Filipino. So we'll see you in a bit. So stay around.
Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind the scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
Hello sa mga kababayan natin dyan sa Texas. Meron po kami show ni Dessa sa June 14 sa Gaylord Texan and Convention Center. So, dun po sa mga bibili ng tickets, lalagay ko po dyan sa ating caption. So, magkita-kita po tayo with Dessa sa June 14 dyan po sa Texas. See you! We'll be right back.
And we're back here. We're still live here in Legal Treats Friday night here in the state of Texas, Saturday morning there in the Philippines, kung nasaan si Neska ngayon.
Yes, and we're still talking about the case of Llewellyn Dixon in relation to crimes involving moral turpitude. Like, even after she served her sentence or she has already paid for the crime she has committed 2001, way back 2001, she was still detained after 24 years. So she was just detained February 2025. It proves to us that immigration law doesn't really treat past convictions lightly. So especially those categorized as CIMTs. And I see as a wide discretion to detain a person. Yeah, Attorney Aileen would like to expand it.
Well, we had talked about her case, pero that's just one out of so many. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there are some people na they thought that they're good because they're green card holders, so they're okay going in and out of the country. And since the conviction was 10 years ago, they're okay, they're safe. But really, in this time of, difficult time, hindi na ganon. That's why we encourage people, if you are eligible to naturalize, go ahead and naturalize at least U.S. citizen ka, because green card holders, anytime they can be subject to investigation, they can revoke your green card. They can say no to you, to your entry. You know, they can do that if they see something there. They can put you in deportation if you have some criminal records in the past. So you are not actually on equal footing sa U.S. citizen. So now, if they revoke your green card, where will you go? You're either going to go back to your country or somewhere else. Pero just imagine the case in Llewellyn. She's been here for 50 years or more. Nandito na ang buhay niya. So, imagine mo din yung bata na lumaki dito. She was brought here to the United States by her parents when she was probably like 2 years old. So, that person grew up until, mag-college, mag-trabaho. And then all of a sudden, hindi pala siya legal permanent resident or hindi siya makapag-naturalize kasi pala. At some point, nag-expire ng kanyang visa. So, she was here for a long time as an illegal immigrant. You know, illegally staying na pala dito. Hindi niya rin alam. And then, here comes a deportation case. And then, i-deport siya. Let's say she's from the Philippines. She's never been in the Philippines. Wala siyang kakilala in the Philippines. And all of a sudden, she's gonna live there? Paano na yon? So, that's why you need to know your status. You need to see proof of that. Yung iba, they didn't know that they're here illegally. Wala silang papers when they applied for job. They were asked to submit some documents and doon lang nila malalaman na, oh, wait a minute. I'm not even a legal permanent resident here. I'm illegally staying here. They didn't know that. But again, of course, the law is harsh and they will impose the penalty, the consequence. It could be fatal. It could be, but the law is the law. They have to follow that, implement that. Ngayon, in that case of Llewellyn and the other Filipinos, sometimes you feel like, okay, I've done my part. I've been a good citizen. I've been paying taxes. You know, I may have some record in the past, but I was not convicted. Hindi ako nakulong, attorney, because I remember there was one case, one consultation that I had na that person was asking, how can I go back to the U.S.? Because he's in the Philippines. He was deported in a sense. Kasi ang deportation naman, it's either there's an order or you self-deport, di ba? Umuwi ka na lang. Ang nangyari sa kanyang case, if I can remember it right, there was a conviction. I think it was fraud. It's a forgery of a check na hindi naman talaga 4G na nagnakaw siya. You know, meron naman talagang funds. Kaya lang na siya, he's not supposed to be the one signing and he's signing. And maliit lang na amount, no? So then when they discovered that, they filed a case against him. And ang sabi ng criminal lawyer niya, you just plead guilty so that hindi ka na makukulong, you're not gonna be incarcerated, you will just serve community service, you know, or you just pay a small fine. So he was convinced na, okay, yeah, okay, I'll do that. I don't wanna be incarcerated. Now, yung kababayan natin na yon, hindi niya alam na meron yung palang significant impact and, you know, serious consequence sa immigration status niya. Because of that, he may not be able to naturalize anymore. Because of, yun na, kasi that is CIMT, NESCA. That's the first thing I ask. If you committed a crime, well, let's look at it. Let's investigate further. Will this constitute a CIMT kind of crime? Now, hindi naman porket nasa lista niyan automatic. They will still look into the circumstances, other factors. You know, they will weigh naman. But again, that's gonna be a big weight against you. So you don't want to be in a situation na mahirapan ka. You're gonna have a hard time proving yourself that I am a good person. No matter how many people you ask to write a letter to prove that you're a good neighbor, that you go to church every single day, that you donate, you pay your taxes, and all of that may not be enough to justify the fact that you have committed a CIMT, a crime involving moral turpitude.
Yeah. That leads me to my question, attorney. Are immigration proceedings of criminal? Because if there was detention, it involves crime involving moral turpitude, is it criminal in nature?
Well, it's not. Well, it's, you cannot consider it as criminal because iba rin ang kanilang, it's not part of the judicial system. Ng ano natin, di ba? We have three arms of the government. We have the legislative, executive, and what's the other one?
Judiciary,
di ba? So, iba rin yung court ng immigration, kaya hindi yan part ng civil court, hindi yan part ng criminal court. Merong sariling court ang immigration. We have the BIA, Bureau of Immigration Appeal. We have the EIR, yun yung sa immigration court mismo. So if you have a case, deportation case, doon yun. So it's really not part. But may mga crimes na nagawa mo. Like for example, it's not part of the immigration but it affects it. You know, as a matter of fact, the court, the civil court, doesn't report to the immigration court. So let's say, for example, kasi ito, natanong na rin ito madalas. If I filed a divorce case, attorney, malalaman ba yan ng immigration na nag-file na ako ng divorce? I got my green card from marrying my U.S. citizen husband? No, hindi nila malalaman yun because there is no reporting. Hindi sila nagre-report to each other. Yun. So that's a good question na talaga naman na tinatanong niya ng mga tao because he didn't know eh.
If you're involved in a immigration proceedings, attorney, will you be able also to be provided by a government lawyer? Or kasi you said that it's not a criminal in nature. So
you'll have to hire your own attorney. Okay. Otherwise, you're not going to be represented.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it's always better to ask. Kasi meron namang mga, if you're unable to pay, meron namang mga organizations, non-profit organizations that provide such services. Katulad din yung, halimbawa, for example, you're a victim of, so victim at hindi victim, they can. Yung victim naman, for example, victim ka ng VAWA, violation against, violence against women, and you are filing for, you want to avail of immigration benefits because you're unable to fix your paper, your immigration paper, because of the abuses and everything. Any ploy to not file that one on the part of the U.S. citizen spouse and ginagamit yun against you so that abuses can go on and on and on, right? So, mayroon mga non-profit organizations na funded by the federal government, they provide fundings to help yung ating mga yung mga biktima ng mga ganyang crimes. So, yung victims of trafficking, meron tayo niyan, di ba? And it's also funded federally and by the state. So, yun yung mga pinaprovide ng mga non-profit organization, and that way nakakatulong din yung government because of the fundings.
Yeah, so if you can't afford a private lawyer or a private lawyer, you still have a choice sa mga non-profit organizations. Yeah.
You just need to apply because they also have to determine your eligibility because not everybody who's going to cry, I'm a victim of trafficking, is really a victim of trafficking. They also have to do their evaluation, have to evaluate your case, if they're going to accept it or not. Because, of course, they have to justify the use of the funds. You know, bakit ka gagastosan? So they have to just say, do I make sure that you are really a person who deserves or who is eligible to receive that benefit?
Yeah. We also have a very interesting question here, Attorney Aileen, from Krisha De Vera again. Do you think the present administration has something to do with the current deportation issues this year?
You know, Krisha, ang masabi ko dyan, yung deportation issues dito, it's not really the current administration, it's the person itself. You know, if you are not violating any law, you are following the laws, you are, let's say, for example, you're filing the right documents, right? Unless victim ka, diba? Then you are responsible for the consequences sa mga ginagawa mo. That's what I believe in my case, you know? Unless, of course, there is a blatant abuse, blatant misuse, you know, blatant application of the law, then iba ng usapan yun. But if you put yourself in that situation because of wrong decision, like intentional crime that you committed, then you have to be responsible for the consequences. Yun yung ano doon. But like I said, iba rin yung kaso ng may mga abuses. Yun tayo, yun talaga, kailangan ipaglaban mo yung karapatan ng tao na aapi naman. So you have to look into it case by case. Yan, tingnan mo lahat ng mga factors. Huwag tayong masyadong maghusga, huwag tayong masyadong sumama sa, makinig sa sinasabi ng iba. You have to do your own investigation, you have to do your own readings, you have to do your own determination of facts, di ba? Para masabing tama yung opinion mo, yung gusto mong gawin. Diba? Baka political naman yan, Krisha. But that's actually also a good question. And maraming gustong magtanong talaga ng ganyan. At as a matter of fact, marinig mo yan sa tabi-tabi mga usapan. Even online, you'll see that. But ako, syempre, you have to look into each case. Katulad yan, yung kay Llewellyn, you know? Pag hindi mo nalaman yung buong facts niyan, sabihin, naku, she was arrested with no reason at all. But there is a reason why she was arrested. And then when the judge heard her side, you know, so she was released. Because, you know, she's able to prove that even if it happened in the past, she's able to do more good, she's able to, you know, stay here. Parang isolated case lang yun. It's not like talagang ginagawa niya yon at yung ano na yan, yung mga fraud and embezzlement and all that. Kasi makikita naman nila, that's why they have to do their investigation. Diba, one time lang ba itong nangyari? Or palagi mo nang ginagawa? Diba?
Yeah, so they have to evaluate. Attorney, yeah, but in general, attorney, can someone be deported for a crime they committed like 20 years ago in the case of Dixon?
Yes, of course, it may, but they have to look into the surrounding circumstances and the situation. Like I said, even if it's 20 years ago, if that person didn't prove to be worthy, even after that, that person was still was involved in so many other CIMTs and non-CIMTs, you know, so they will consider those factors in determining whether this person deserves to receive or deserve to receive immigration benefit. When I say immigration benefits, like visa, like green card, like naturalization, yan yan. So yeah, actually, this is really interesting. So next Friday, abangan ninyo because we're gonna continue this discussion about current events and relating it to the law itself. And we'll give you more samples in order for you to understand the law that you claim you don't know so you can avoid getting entangled with the law and face serious consequences because of that wrong decision. Or reckless mistake. Diba? Because you have the opportunity, you have all the means and ways to know the law, but you chose not to. There's Google, there's AI, there's ChatGPT, there's actually attorneys all over for you to ask. There are so those who are giving free advice, those who are giving free knowledge, like here in Legal Treats. You know, avail of those in order for you to learn the law and avoid making mistakes and getting the consequences for doing what the law says, do not do this, diba?
Yes, attorney, I think that's also important, that's significant, that we have to know how to protect ourselves, especially those kababayans there, also Filipino green card holders in the Philippines and in the U.S. It's important that they know how to protect themselves also, especially if they're faced with that situation like with the Dixon case.
All right, well then let's just pause for a really short break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and see you in a bit. Here, Legal Treats, but we already reached the part of the show where we're about to wrap it up. But before Nesca wrap up the show, I'd like to let you know that I do write I do write my Legal Treats column also, so you can visit lawin.news look for Legal Treats there. I share some information. Sometimes we talk about it here. So again, lawin.news, where you can also find news in the community here in Texas, in the Philippines, across the nation here, across the globe. You know, we try to highlight, you'll see there that Filipino-American communities are highlighted there. So, yung mga hindi nyo nababalitaan sa ibang mga newspapers, online man yan, or print newspapers, you may be able to see it there. So, again, you'll see my Legal Tweets column, Loving That News. Nesca?
That's right, Attorney Aileen. This has been a powerful episode. Llewellyn Dixon's case reminds us how deeply personal the law can become. You know, it's not just like statutes and procedures. It's someone's life. It involves someone's life, also liberty. As with Llewellyn Dixon, she was detained 3 months. For 3 months, Feb to May, even after paying for the crime she has committed for embezzlement more than 20 years ago. But you know, the consequences of her action before is still relevant to the laws that we have, or that you have there in the U.S.
That's right. And so again, like I said, we're going to continue this discussion about immigration and its impact, about the stories of our kababayan. And you may be able to relate to the story and learn something from their mistakes, or learn something from their experience, and of course, learn and know the law. So this is Aileen, and this is Nesca. We'll see you next Friday. Here's a Legal Treats, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. That will be Saturday, 7:30 a.m. in the Philippines. So enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.